Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Keep listening, and you'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day, and how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. Today, you'll hear a special edition of Basic Gospel, Part 2 of the New Covenant. This broadcast is a teaching edition. Thus, the phone lines are not available today, so please hold your questions until our next live broadcast. Also, please check our website, basicgospel.net, for the latest information on appearances and special offers. This is Basic Gospel, and now with Part 2 of the New Covenant, here is Bob Christopher.
The New Covenant is nothing about religion. No. It's about relationship. It's the most exciting message that there is in the Word of God. It's the most exciting message that's ever touched this planet. And when we get a hold of it, our lives are changed. Why? Because it's the message about Jesus Christ. It's the message that encompasses all that he did through his death, burial, and resurrection, all about who he is as God in human flesh, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and how we can live as New Covenant believers. It truly is the dynamic of the Christian life. And for so many years, it's been the centerpiece of our ministry. It's the thing that sets us apart. We really emphasize this New Covenant. And our heart's desire is for believers listening or non-believers listening to this broadcast to really learn to live in the promises of this New Covenant. It is absolutely life-changing. So as we go through today, the phone lines will not be open. We will have those open tomorrow. We'll be taking live calls. Maybe these past two programs have generated some questions in some of our listeners' mind. And if that's the case, we sure look forward to addressing those tomorrow. But when we look at just our Bibles, Richard, when you hold the Bible in your hand, the full Bible, what's the most obvious thing that you see about the Bible?
That it's split into two sections, two major sections.
Yeah, split into two sections. We have an Old Testament and a New Testament. Some people think, you know, the Old Testament is for Jews and the New Testament is for Gentiles. But it really is a single story that is woven throughout the pages of both. It's a story of Jesus. But in those pages, we see some covenants. There's more than two covenants, but the two major ones are the Old Covenant that God established with the people of Israel, and then there's the New Covenant that God ratified through the death of Jesus Christ. The Old Covenant was more like a contract. It was binding on two parties. God had responsibilities, and the people of Israel had responsibilities. And yesterday, we talked about the reason God wanted to establish a new covenant, because he found fault with the people. They weren't able to live up to their end of the bargain, so to speak. So in this new covenant, it's not a contract between two parties. It's a contract among one, and yes, that's God himself. This is his desire, his will for us. Just like we have a will that we write that explains how all of our assets are going to be distributed upon death, and we have beneficiaries named in that, and so when they hear the reading of the will, they get a opportunity to gain even a deeper sense of what our love for them truly is.
Yes.
And that's the way it is with this new covenant. It is God's will for us. So what we're going to talk about today is where this change took place, where this was ratified, and why it had to be. In Hebrews 8:13, the writer of Hebrews said this, "By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear." Many times when we start talking about the new covenant and we read passages like this that say that the old covenant is obsolete and is aging and will soon disappear, a lot of folks start to kind of bow up at that and say, well, wait a minute. Yeah. Are you saying the Old Testament is useless today? Are you saying that we should never read the Old Testament? Is that what we're saying, Richard?
Not at all. It's putting the Old Testament into the context that God intended it to be from the beginning. Even though it was this contract between two parties, that Mosaic covenant was an amazing statement that prepared the way for Jesus to come. And everything in that covenant pointed forward to Jesus. And when Jesus gets here and fulfills it all, well, it's not that it says throw it out. It says, now I understand, and here's what he's done to replace it. There's nothing about this that says that the Old Testament is worthless.
Right.
It's just moved on through the revelation of Jesus Christ to what we are now instead of what we were before.
Right. I liken the Old Covenant, and that's what we're specifically talking about here, not the Old Testament,
yes,
all of those 39 books of the Old Testament, but that Old Covenant that was ratified at Mount Sinai. I liken that to like a CAT scan machine.
Yeah.
So you're not feeling well, you're not, or maybe you just go in for
a regular
physical,
yeah,
and they find something, and the doctor orders a CAT scan. So you go and take this CAT scan, and on the findings, you see that something's wrong. There's a tumor, there's a lesion, there's something going on inside. Well, the CAT scan had incredible value in pointing that out,
yes,
but it has no capability of curing what it discovered. That's what the law was. It was like an X-ray machine, a spiritual X-ray machine. And when we go through it, we see our condition apart from Christ Jesus.
Yes.
There is great value in that. And the God who ordered that test for us, we have to step back and say, he really is interested in us because,
yes,
he has a cure. So we have to know we need a cure before we'll turn,
yeah,
to the person who has the cure, and that's Jesus Christ.
And be incredibly thankful that test was there.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have known.
Absolutely. So it's woven into this fabric of God's story, mm-hmm, about Jesus.
Yes.
He wants us to know Jesus, and he takes us through this test so that we can understand how much we need Jesus, so that we will turn to him by faith. But once the law has done its work, it gives way to Christ.
Yes.
It gives way to his work to make a difference in our lives. The writer also says the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. So that former regulation is set aside, just like the CT scanner is going to be set aside as far as your purposes are concerned. Once it's identified what's going on, it is set aside so that the physicians can start the work. If you just stay in the CT scanner, you're never going to get well.
You'll die there.
You'll just die there. So the CT scanner gives way to the physician so they can do their work, their medical procedures, to bring about healing and a cure to what's ailing a sick person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the law does. It gives way to Jesus so that he can make us whole, so that he can take us from death to life, so that he can make us right in God's sight. So it was set aside because it was weak and useless. The CT scanner can't heal anybody. The law can't make us right. It can't deliver us to the goal that God had in mind for us. So the law was set aside. It made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. The new covenant enables us to draw near to God.
Yeah, that's really the issue here. Because if you look at all of the ceremonies and things associated with that old covenant, one thing was very clear. Joe Blow, average guy, me, could not approach God. Pain of death, could not approach God. Now in this new covenant, because of what Jesus has done, we're invited to crawl up in his lap, quite literally, and call him daddy. That change alone is worth everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, these two covenants come together at a point in time.
Mm-hmm.
The Mosaic Covenant started around 1500 B.C. At Mount Sinai. It was ratified by blood you know, Moses got blood and sprinkled it on everything, and the people said, "We will do all that you have commanded," and that covenant went into effect.
Yes.
But it was temporary. It was until the seed would come.
Yes.
So there was a start and an end for that old covenant. And that end was at the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And not only was that an end of the old covenant, that was a beginning of the new. Mm-hmm. And without the cross, we would still be under the old. We would still be enslaved to sin and death. We would still be lost. But Jesus fulfilled that for us so that we could be ushered into a new covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. So the cross isn't just an ending of the old. It's not just where Jesus shed his blood to take away our sins, although that's what he did there. Mm-hmm. But it also is the beginning point of a brand new covenant. So we ask the question quite often, if that's the case, if this new covenant went into effect at the death of Jesus, what covenant did Jesus live under when he was alive?
Had to live under the old covenant.
Had to live under the old, because the new
hadn't been here yet.
It hadn't gone into effect. Why? Because the one who made it was still living. Jesus Christ was still walking planet Earth. Now, he fulfilled that old in two different ways. First, he lived up to every righteous requirement. There was not a single commandment that he violated. So he was perfect in his life as far as the law was concerned. But he didn't try to live up to it. He simply walked in love. He allowed the love of his Father to be expressed through him into the lives of others. And in walking in love, he fulfilled the law. Paul touched on that in Romans 13, that when you walk in love, you fulfill the righteous commandments of the law. That's what Jesus did. And that's what entitled him to die on our behalf. If he had violated any of the commandments, he would have then become a sinner, mm-hmm. and his sacrifice would not have been accepted. But as Scripture said, he was the unblemished Lamb of God.
Yes.
He was perfect in all ways. And so when he stepped into our shoes, when he stepped into our place and took our sin, God the Father looked down and said, "I'm satisfied."
Yes.
So that ended the old, but even more exciting, it ushered in a brand new covenant. And it's this covenant, this new covenant, that we live under today. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, one of the things that people have such a hard time grasping. And I think that's why the church is so anemic in its impact in culture today, because we're trying to blend old and new.
Yeah.
We're not doing what Jesus said to do, set aside the old so that we could take up the new.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like people talk about this in business all the time, or in, you know, invention or high technology, that when the only tool in your box is a hammer, then by definition, everything else must look like a nail. And that's what we do with the old covenant these days in Christianity. That's our hammer. We're going to use it to improve everybody, when it explicitly tells us that the law cannot improve a single thing. It can only, like we've been talking about, point out that there's something terribly wrong. And if you'd look at Jesus, it would be solved. So as soon as we start to merge those two covenants, then all we've got is a hammer, and all we can do is hurt each other with it.
Blood had to be shed.
Yes.
And so when Jesus shed his blood, it was the very blood that ratified this new covenant.
Yes.
So it's his blood that's so vitally important. Sometimes we shy away from that. We think that's offensive. We think people are going to be offended by that talk. But we have to realize that it was the blood of Jesus that satisfied God on our behalf. And until we really rest in that, this isn't going to make sense to us. Until we rest in the fact that our sins have been totally taken away once and for all, and the blood of Christ is what did that, the new covenant promises aren't going to make sense to us. back in the Old Covenant, back in the days of Moses and the Levitical priesthood and the high priest and the temple and the sacrificial system, sin was always dealt with by blood sacrifice. Yes. There was no other way to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So if you had committed a sin, say you said something that offended your wife, that hurt your wife, and you started feeling guilty for it, and you went to the priest and said, I want to confess what I did. And the priest would say, well, you can't have forgiveness just through confession. There has to be shed blood.
Yes.
So bring a sacrifice. And until you bring a sacrifice, this sin is still on you. But once the blood has been shed, then there's a ritualistic removal of it.
Yes.
And you feel free, released from the burden of that sin. That was in the Old Covenant. But you knew that the blood of a bull or a goat was not sufficient to really pay the price.
Was not.
Yeah, how could an animal be worthy enough to take away our sins? And the answer is it's not. Yeah. That's why we needed the shed blood of Christ.
But look at the incredible logic of this. God explicitly prohibited the use of human sacrifice, which was unique in that day.
Yes, indeed.
Most every other group of people around the Israelites killed people in order to remit sins. They tended to kill children is what they did. And God explicitly forbid that and said, we're going to use a model. We'll use animals, and it won't be sufficient, but it'll point forward to something. Because it turns out the issue wasn't just you and me. The issue was that Jesus had to deal with something that Adam did. And so when Adam sinned and therefore all of us died, and because all of us sinned, Jesus had to do something as the uniquely qualified, uniquely pure being that he was, that allowed all these animal sacrifices to point forward so that one perfect sacrifice dealt with sin for all time.
For all time. And that's just absolutely amazing, and yeah, something that we really can't get our minds around because we're in time.
Yes.
And you know, I know what I've done in the past. I have no earthly idea what I'm going to do in the future. I have no earthly idea what sins I may or may not commit. But I guarantee you tomorrow something's going to come up. And because it's sin, there's something that happens inside of us, and we feel, you know, like we're distant from God. We feel like we need to do something to try to get that sin forgiven or to get that black mark erased from our names. And God keeps saying there's no sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice for sin. Jesus died. His blood was sufficient. His blood did more than cover, which is what the blood of bulls and goats
yes.
did. His blood took away. Mm-hmm. It took away sin. It removed it forever. And you're like, wow, I just can't believe it. I just, isn't there something I need to do? Well, what would you do? I mean, yeah, what would you offer? Would you bring an animal and say, would this erase the black mark? And he said, why would you do that? Jesus has already shed the blood. Mm-hmm. Well, if I promise to do better tomorrow, will that satisfy you? Will that assuage you? Would that make it all better? And it's like, why would you say that? Jesus has already shed his blood. And then you're like, well, you know, what if I go and do something for somebody in need? Would that be enough? And God would say, listen, Jesus has shed his blood. Rest in it. Thank him for it. There's no other sacrifice. I'm not requiring any other sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, the only sacrifices that this new covenant speaks of are sacrifices of praise that flow from the lips of believers in Christ.
Yeah.
That's all God is looking for. And that flows from our response to God's love for us, to God's grace in us, to God's righteousness that's been given to us, to God's forgiveness that is ours once and for all. As we respond to that wonderful, the good news, our hearts overflow with thanksgiving and our lips offer praise to God. That's the sacrifices that God is looking for,
yes,
or looking for in this new covenant.
Yeah,
no other.
And even at that, those sacrifices are an expression of relationship.
Absolutely.
They are not a loss of life. They are proof of life and the intent of having a relationship with the living God.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So not only did Jesus take away our sins, and one of the promises and provisions of this new covenant is that God remembers our sins no more,
yeah.
where these have been forgiven. There is no sacrifice for sin. That's a provision in this new covenant.
Yes.
So as new covenant believers, God remembers our sins no more. In other words, there's no punishment. When he remembered sin, and that happened at Calvary,
yes.
on the day Jesus died, he remembered sin.
Yes.
Wrath was poured out, all of it. Jesus took all the punishment. In this new covenant, he remembers sin no more. Why? Because the punishment has been dealt with.
Yes.
The sin has been dealt with. The punishment has been meted out. It is finished once and for all. So we are forgiven people. But not only that, his blood did some other things for us. It made us holy by that one sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. He has made us holy. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That we have a holy God. We were unholy. There was no way to bridge that gap. God wasn't going to become unholy, and there was no way that we could become holy. So God, through Jesus, made us holy.
Yeah.
So now we can connect. Now we can relate. Now we can enjoy one another. Now we can know God and be known by him in a very personal way. So
yeah.
we've been made holy. We've been made perfect by that once and for all sacrifice. And this is an interesting word, and I really like this word, perfect. Because it doesn't mean, you know, without blemish in this particular context. It's a word, the Greek word is telos, and it really relates to reaching a goal. You know, if you've established a plan and you have steps along the way, when you reach the final product, it's come to completion. It's come to fulfillment. God had a plan for us. We were dead in sin. We were sinners by nature. We were unholy. We were unrighteous. We were separated from God. Our eternal destiny was death, eternal separation from God.
Yes.
That wasn't God's plan for us. That wasn't God's desire. His desire from the very beginning was for us to know him personally, to walk in relationship with him, to be fully alive eternally, to have all sins forgiven, to be righteous in his very sight, to be holy. That's how God created us to be. Sin messed that up. Well, this rescue plan through Jesus is a restoration plan. It restores us. So when we come to Christ by faith, when we are made alive in Christ, when our sins, that forgiveness he provided at the cross becomes ours, and that righteousness is given to us, imputed to us, that holiness is imputed to us, we've been delivered to God's goal for us. We've been made complete. We are fulfilled. I know a lot of folks, you know, as they go through life, they know something's wrong, and you know, they don't really know exactly what it is, but they describe it in these terms. I just feel like something's missing.
Yeah.
I feel empty. I feel like there's a hole in the heart. Well, when we come to Christ, that hole gets filled, and we feel fulfilled.
Yes.
That's the good news of this gospel, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about when he says he has made us perfect forever, those who are the holy ones, that we have been fulfilled. We have been completed in Christ Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from part two of the New Covenant, the primary ministry focus of Basic Gospel. We remind you that Basic Gospel depends upon you, our listeners, to keep this program on the air every day. Say thank you for your generous gift of any amount at this time. You'll receive Bob Christopher's booklet, 12 Days of Simply Grace, a 12-day devotional showing how the Christian life is really supposed to work. To make your gift and receive your copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace, visit our website, basicgospel.net, and click Donate Today on the graphic in the lower right corner. That's Donate Today, the lower right corner at basicgospel.net. We'll be back on Monday for Basic Gospel. I hope you'll join us.